Thank you, ladies. Really enjoyed that song. We're in this sermon series called The Songs of Christmas, and we're looking at some of the traditional Christmas hymns and using them as a prism towards which we can view the Christmas story. We're seeing if we can begin to see some truth in them that can help us celebrate Jesus' first coming 2,000 years ago and help us prepare for his second coming that's soon. We're looking for biblical truth that God has placed in the lyrics of these songs. And last week, we looked at O Holy Night. And today, in week two, we're looking at this song the ladies sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful. Now, this song was originally written in Latin, and it was given the title Adeste Fidelius. It was probably written in 1744. It was by John Francis Wade, although a lot of people think that somebody else may have written it sooner. It was translated to English, though, for sure, in 1841 by a guy named Frederick Oakley. And it became very popular in the church after that. It's one of those songs that sort of stands the test of time. As a matter of fact, all of these songs that we're talking about over these 4 weeks have stood the test of time. Like, I don't really think some of these modern ones, like Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, I don't think people are going to be singing that 100 years from now. But anyway, when I was a kid, I would remember singing this song, and I loved that first line, O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. And as a kid, as a person growing up in the church, you know, I thought, yeah, this is Christmas, and it's a time for the faithful. It's a time to be joyful. It's a time for people who feel triumphant, right? That's come celebrate Christmas. But as I've gotten older and I've celebrated more Christmases, I find that line at times has kind of rung kind of hollow, because there's been sometimes, let's all admit it, there's been times we didn't feel faithful or joyful or triumphant at Christmas. Some Christmases have been hard. I remember the first Christmas after my brother died. That was a strange Christmas, and a lot of feeling faithful and joyful and triumphant, just wasn't feeling it that year. And I have to say, there have been some Christmases where I felt less than faithful, where maybe I didn't feel as close to God as I should, or I didn't have as, you know, I might have had a recent spiritual failure and the enemy kept throwing it up in my face, and it was just hard for me to feel triumphant. I mean, there are times when, rather than feel faithful, joyful, and triumphant, matter of fact, some of us have felt defeated, depressed, or doubtful. And we can kind of feel like, well, maybe I'm not the one who's supposed to come, you know, because I don't feel faithful and I don't feel joyful and I don't feel triumphant. I don't know about you, but I don't know if anybody here has ever struggled with their faith, maybe ever lose their faith. May anybody ever start to lose, you know, to just completely lose out? Maybe you knew God had called you to something, right? But it's much more difficult than you thought at first. It's hard to do what God asked you to do. And so you started calling God into question, like, I don't really know. Maybe that's not what he was saying to me. Maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do. Or maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. And you start to struggle with being faithful because it's just really difficult and hard. Or maybe it's when it comes to being joyful. You know, these days it's hard, man. I mean, COVID, man, it just sucks the air out of the room, you know, anytime anybody brings it up. You know, we've got all these restrictions and people don't want, you know, there's a lot of fear out there and people are stressed out and depressed and sad and alone. Maybe you've lost your job and you're having trouble making ends meet. Not a lot of joy there. Maybe your marriage is under strain or you're disenchanted because you thought after 20 years things would be better, but they're not. And you have to really dig deep whenever he says, oh, come all you faithful, joyful. I don't know. It's hard to find joy today. Maybe you don't feel very triumphant. That's a word we don't use a whole lot today. But, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of people do feel defeated right now. The people are sick and dying and the hospitals are full. And even though we're all trying to get on top of this, we've seen so much of 2020 be something we didn't even plan on. It's disrupted our lives, our vacations. It's disrupted important events like weddings and graduations. And now, lately here, it's even caused us not to celebrate Thanksgiving the way we used to. And it looks like it's going to impact the way we celebrate Christmas with our family. So we feel anything but triumphant. So when I look at this song I began to ask this question. I wonder, who is it that this song calls? Oh, come who? All you what? I mean, can I not come if I feel doubtful or depressed or defeated rather than joyful, faithful, and triumphant? Well, when you look at the Gospels, the faithful, the joyful, and the triumphant were not the ones that Jesus called when he was here. I mean, for instance, when you look in the Gospels, there's a couple of different people groups that Jesus very specifically called. One group in the Gospels was the weary and the burdened. Matthew 11:28. What? Look at this. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The word weary means tired and exhausted, overwhelmed with grief. And the word burden means someone who's weighed down, carrying a load. Anybody feel like that today? Jesus said, "Come, you who are weary and tired, you who are burdened and overloaded, and I will give you rest." That word rest means to be calmed. It means to cease from labor so you can recover and collect your strength. Man, that's what we need right now, right? I mean, that sounds inviting to me. Couldn't we? We all need that right now. But that's who Jesus called. Not the faithful and not the joyful and not the triumphant, but the weary and the tired and the burdened down. Another group he called were sinners. I mean, Matthew 9, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." I didn't come for the healthy. I didn't come for the strong and the powerful and the ones who have it all together. No, I came for the sick, the sinner, those who are wicked and imprisoned by their selfishness. That's what that word means. Whose lives are stained by vices and crimes. I came for, you know, what used to be called back in the old days, the heathen. I mean, that's a different group than faithful, joyful, and triumphant, right? Now, some of you may be saying, "Well, thanks, Pastor, for trying to ruin this Christmas hymn for me. I'll never be able to sing that again," right? No, listen, just hang on just a second. Give me a minute. I got to thinking that maybe this song is not about who he calls, but maybe about who he helps us become. That because of what Jesus has done, because he came in a manger, came as fully man and fully God, showed us how to live in relationship with our Father the whole time that he was here, died on a cross for our sins, and was raised up with resurrection power that now lives in us as followers of Jesus. Because of what he has done, maybe we need to see this song as calling us to live as people who are faithful, joyful, and triumphant. See, even though we come weary and tired, sinful and wicked to God, even though that's the way we come to the manger, the good news is that Jesus doesn't leave us there. When our trust in him to forgive us for our sins, when we trust in him for that, well, you know, the Bible says something beautiful happens inside of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, look at this. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." And today, it could be that there may be some of you listening today, you may realize that God is wanting you to know that you can become a new creation, that the old can be gone, wiped away, and that the new is here. Or maybe today, as a follower of Jesus, you may be, you may be feeling tired and exhausted and burdened with grief. Maybe you're overwhelmed by everything that's happening around you. Maybe you're someone who just feels like you're carrying this tremendous load. I want you to know that God wants to renew your strength. I want you to know that he wants to continue to make you faithful, joyful, and triumphant, to continue that work in your life. So let's talk about this hymn from that perspective. What does God do? What does Christ do to help us become more faithful, joyful, and triumphant? Well, let's think about each one. So how does Christ help us become more faithful? There's a scripture verse, Hebrews 12, chapter 2, that says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith." Jesus is the author of our faith. And this word here, I know we think of an author as somebody who writes it down or maybe even creates it, and it does have that sense in it, but there's a deeper meaning here. The word means chief leader, the one who takes the lead, the one who pioneers our faith. He leads us in faith, and then he goes about the work of perfecting it in us. So how does God perfect my faith? How does God help my faith to become whole? How does he help it to grow and blossom and mature? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us one way. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Hearing the good news about Christ builds our faith. Hearing, reading, digesting the Word of God helps us build our faith. I give you an example. Remember when my brother passed away? It's been a while now. And my brother passed away in his early 40s. And it was sudden. And my mom called me to tell me about it. And she was very upset. And that was very upsetting to me. And you know, if you've ever had someone suddenly pass, you know, very unexpectedly and very suddenly in your life, you'll understand when I say that from the moment I got the phone call, for the next 2 or 3 hours, everything was just kind of a blur. You know, there was this initial shock that came over, and then we had to call our son who was at college and tell him about his Uncle Scott. And we had to make flight arrangements for us that night from St. Louis to get down to Dallas, and had to make arrangements for my son to get from Kansas City to Dallas. And, you know, we had to pack and we had to get a ride to the airport. And it was just like being hit by this big tidal wave. But I remember when I finally got to catch my breath was when we sat down on the plane, my wife and my daughter and I, and I took this deep breath, and it's just like everything overcame me. And I remember our daughter, who was Brianna, who was still in high school, she asked me if I wanted my Bible. She knew what I needed right then. Because in this moment of turmoil, she knew her dad needed to be reminded of who God is and what God does, of how faithful God is. And so she gave me my Bible, and I have a favorite passage of mine that I turn to. It's Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. This is a great verse. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I can't tell you what a comfort that was to my heart, that in this moment when the enemy was just causing all kinds of doubts and questions in my mind and tempting me to lose faith, for me to read that, for God to, for him to say to me, hey, this is who I am, and this is where you are, and this is who you are to me, and I've not abandoned you. Man, rather than my faith fall apart, it inspired me to be more faithful. It inspired me to cling tighter to God, to hold him closer, because he was reminding me that he is still faithful even when I grow weary and tired and I don't understand. He gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak, man. When I just don't even know how I'm going to step forward, move forward, go forward. When something the enemy could have used to tear me down, God instead turned it around. And in that moment, he built my faith stronger. His faithfulness helped inspire me to be faithful. And maybe today you're feeling a bit like that. Maybe you've had a loss. Maybe someone's died that was close to you. Maybe this is your first Christmas without them. Or maybe it's the death of a dream. Or maybe it's the death of a job. Or I don't know, maybe your strength is just all taxed out. Maybe you're weary and you're tired and you're burdened down. Hearing about what God does for us helps our faith to build. It helps us believe. It helps us to trust. Being reminded of his faithfulness to us inspires our faith to grow. Christ, help us to become more faithful as we are in his word and as it gets inside of us and invades our souls. Man, God, please help us be more faithful. Do you need your faith to grow? Here's the second thing, being joyful. How does Christ help us to become joyful? I think we tend to think of joy as an emotion. Don't we? We tend to confuse joy and happiness, but they're not the same. Like, happiness depends on happenings. Like, happiness is dependent on what's going on around me. You know, do I really like what's happening with me? External things that are going on. Do I not like what's going on with me right now? That's outward circumstances determine my state of happiness. But joy, that comes from another place. That comes from inside of us. It comes from within. It comes from Jesus. It's not something that you can create by your own efforts, not the kind of joy that sustains you through, you know, every circumstance. The only kind of joy that I know like that comes as a fruit of the Spirit. Listen to Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. It's joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures. And Paul goes on in the rest of that passage. There are 9 different fruits of the Spirit that he names, and they all come from him. Joy is one of those 9 fruits that the Holy Spirit produces inside of us. Well, how's that work? Well, my grandmother used to have a pear tree in her backyard. And a pear tree produces a pear, well, because it's a pear tree. Pretty smart, huh? The pear tree doesn't have to work hard to produce a pear. It just needs to be healthy, you know? It's just because that's part of how it's made. It's made to reproduce pears. It produces a pear because that's what grows on a pear tree, right? So our joy, and likewise, our joy comes from a right relationship with God. It comes from his Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's not something that we can produce on our own. When we become a new creation in Christ, like we talked about a little bit earlier, when we receive Christ, God puts his Spirit inside of us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead becomes alive in us. And that same Spirit produces fruit. It produces joy inside of us. God's Spirit produces joy in our life. Now, I remember my grandmother's tree that sometimes, like, the fruit would get ruined because, you know, maybe we'd have an infestation of bugs or insects. You know, they might swarm the tree and diminish some of the fruit that was on it, so we couldn't eat it. My grandmother also would would go out and she'd find things to keep the bugs and the pests away. Other times the tree would need to be pruned in order to keep it healthy. You know, she didn't want it weighed down by unhealthy or dead branches. A tree can waste a lot of good energy that it could be using to producing fruit if there are dead branches or there are sick, unhealthy branches in the tree. And so we'd have to prune it. And the same is true for us as followers of Jesus. Sometimes we let the bugs, the insects, the pest of life diminish our joy and steal our gladness. And when that happens, we need to ask God to help us to keep the things of this life that swarm us and diminish us away. We need to ask for protection. We need to ask for his help in fighting off the things in life that would steal our joy. Sometimes we need to be pruned. We need to have dead and sick branches in our spiritual lives removed so that his joy might be produced in even greater measure in our life. See, it's not really about trying to be more joyful, but it's about not letting anything hinder the joy that God's producing in our lives. It's about learning to cooperate with his Spirit in our life so that when we feel that joy is diminished in us, we can ask God to protect us, or we can ask God to prune us, or we can ask God to take out those dead branches that he calls to our attention. And we can surrender to him so that the fruit can flow, so that the joy in our life can flow. It's not about going out and reproducing it. It's about, if anything else, learning in our heart and life to not let some things, life, so clutter us up that it stops the fruit from being produced. It stops us from enjoying joy. I'm wondering, are you letting anything hinder the Spirit from producing joy in your life? Last one. Jesus helps us to become more triumphant. How does God cause us to feel triumphant when, man, everything around us is so defeating? Well, some of you at FNC may remember I've told this story two or three times about my friend Clyde Barrett. He's the only kid in the third grade at Travis Elementary School who shaved, okay, third grade. And Clyde, I don't know, either he got held back a couple of grades or he was more physically developed than the rest of us. And he was a big guy. He wasn't fat. He was just tall and built like a rock, man. And Clyde was my friend. And I remember one day at recess, some boys from a different class than mine, they started picking on me. And actually, I kind of got ganged up on. And well, this happened over two or three days. And it even started to get a little bit physical. And then one day, they threatened me they were going to hurt me the next day. So I kind of dreaded going to school. But I went. And during milk break in the morning, I was telling Clyde, my friend, about it. You know, these guys are picking on me, and now they say they're going to hurt me, you know, at recess today. And Clyde, he put his arm on my shoulder, and he said, "Little buddy, don't you worry about it. You show me who it is, and I'll take care of it." So at recess, I stuck to Clyde, man. I mean, I didn't even get more than 5 feet away from him. And finally, these guys came looking for me, and they found me. And they started, you know, again, telling me what they were about to do to me, which wasn't very nice. And I remember Clyde stepping up and saying, hey, hold on a minute. Brian is my friend. Anybody wants to lay a hand on him has to go through me. Messing with Brian is like messing with me. Well, nobody wanted to mess with Clyde. And one by one, they all kind of started to leave. And Clyde turned around and he said, "Well, there you go, little buddy. And for the rest of the school year, I didn't have anybody messing with me. They were afraid of Clyde. They didn't want to mess with Clyde. I felt triumphant. You talk about being confident when I'd go out on the playground, man, I did. You talk about feeling victorious, you bet I did, man. Why? The threats were the same. They hadn't left, but I had Clyde on my side. And I was known as Clyde's friend. Mess with Brian, you mess with Clyde. Clyde had my back." And many times, those of us who follow Jesus, we don't realize who it is that has our backs, who it is that stands beside us. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, Isaiah prophesied about him coming to us. And we read this when we did the Advent candle earlier in the service, part of it. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Even as an infant in the manger that first Christmas, Jesus was Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He came as the Prince of Peace, but the Bible says that he also is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the chosen one to save us from our sins. He is, what Paul said earlier, the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection and the life. He's the good shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life, the true vine. And as our Christmas song today sings, he is born King of Angels. At his birth, an angelic choir filled the sky proclaiming his arrival. And God moved the stars in heaven to direct the wise men to where Jesus was living. You don't think he's powerful? I want to tell you, one day, we who believe, he will return. And we'll be caught up in the air with him. He will vanquish all of his enemies, and we will reign with him forever. Look, you have God on your side if you're a follower of Jesus. We are triumphant because of who walks beside us. We are triumphant because he says to the enemy, "You got to go through me to get to them." How triumphant we need to walk in these days. What confidence we ought to have. How victorious we ought to live. Because in the words of Paul, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing shall separate us from Christ and his love for us. Nothing. Nothing. Unless we let it. So when you get to the chorus of this Christmas song, O Come All Ye Faithful, it ought to be easy to sing, even in these days when it seems like there's so much chaos and conflict and division and angst around us. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultations, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We sing with triumph because he makes us triumphant. He is the one who fights for us, and he is fighting for you right now. You know that? We are not losers. I have read the end of the book, and we win. He wins. It is not in doubt today. It is not in question. There will be no recalls. There will be no, you know, counting ballots again. He is triumphant, and we shall be also. So next time you sing this song, or maybe you hear it playing this Christmas season, remember that he doesn't just call the faithful, the joyful, the triumphant. He calls everyone. And his work in us began at Christmas when Jesus was born in a manger. He came to inspire us to be faithful by his own faithfulness to us. He came so that his spirit might produce the fruit of joy in our lives, no matter what else is going on around us, to have joy in our hearts. And he came so that we might live triumphant, victorious, because he is walking beside us. And if he is with us, nothing can stand against us. So come, come, be faithful, trust in him. Come, be joyous. Don't let anything in this world diminish or block you from enjoying the joy that his spirit produces in your heart. Come, be triumphant. Walk in confidence because of who walks beside you, the one who lives in you. And my prayer is today that if you don't know him as Savior of your life, that you'll accept his gift of forgiveness this morning. You'll let him redeem your life so you always know that he is there to trust in. You'll always know he's there to lean upon, to put joy in your heart, and to help you live victorious, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Oh, come, let us adore him, for he is Christ the Lord. Will you bow your heads this morning and let me pray with you? Father, we just thank you that you sent your Son as Emmanuel, God with us. And God, we just celebrate that during this Christmas season, that you are so good to have sent your Son for us. And today, as we're praying today, would you speak to our hearts? Maybe this morning as you're praying still, maybe you've listened and you thought, you know what, I could definitely use some help in the joy department. Or you know what, my faith today, it needs to be built up a little bit. All this stuff going on is kind of knocking my faith wall down. Or maybe in coming to understand who it is that's with you, maybe you need to feel a little bit more triumphant about your circumstances. Maybe you're watching today and you say, you know what, man, that's me. I need some help. Father, I just want to pray for those of us who are feeling a little bit of a faith struggle right now. I pray for that one who has struggled with their doubts, especially in this season that we've been through as a church and as a community and as a nation. I pray that you would send the right scripture at the right time, that you would send the right person with the right word of encouragement to build our faith and to help us to become more faithful. I pray for those of us who are lacking a little bit of joy right now. I pray that you would help us to know that our joy is found in you, and that you would remind us that it's in your presence that true joy can be found. And I pray for those of us who are feeling defeated today and who desperately want to feel that triumphant feeling, that we talked about this morning. I pray that you would remind them who they are with, who is on their side. I pray that you would impress upon us this Christmas season the majestic nature of who you are, the power of your presence, and that we would understand who it is that lives inside of us, and that with you on our side, nothing can stand against us. Forgive us for doubting, God. Forgive us, Lord, for struggling. We all struggle and we all have doubts. But God, help us to move forward and to move on, to not dwell in those today, but to find ourselves. Give us faith and give us joy and give us victory today. God, I pray this morning that for that one who says, you know what, I'm not a follower of Jesus. I feel so alone and by myself. I feel defeated. I feel depressed. I feel down. And I've listened today and something in my heart has spoken that I need Jesus in my life. All you got to do this morning is ask him. All you got to do is to receive it and say, Jesus, I want what you did on the cross to count for me. Oh God, let what Jesus did on the cross count for me. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn away from doing things my way. And God, I want to turn and follow you and do things your way from now on. May your spirit, put your spirit inside me to help me, guide me, and lead me in these days. God, I pray for every person that prayed that prayer today that it would happen. That the sin which has separated them from you, that because of what Jesus has done on the cross and our appropriation of it today, that it is gone. And that today, Father, every person who prayed that prayer would know that they are a child of God today. Father, we need you in our lives and in our heart. Be with our community in these days. God, we pray that you might move and work. Be in us. May we live this week as those who are being and continue to be faithful, those who are being transformed and are continue to have joy in their lives, those who are being changed from defeat into victory. Let us live as those who are triumphant today. Oh, come, oh God, come, we pray in our hearts and in our lives this morning, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us this morning. And hey, if you prayed today and asked Christ in your heart, send me a message, send me an email, let me know. We'd love to connect with you. If there's something this morning that God said to you, we'd love to have you leave something in the messages or, you know, in the response somewhere, whether you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube or Vimeo, and just let us know what God's doing. Private message us, email us. I just want to know what God's doing in your life in these days. I believe with all my heart that while this is a different kind of Christmas this year so far, that God still is working and he is still moving and he is still able. So I want to invite you to follow along with the Bible reading plan that we have, daily devotions called Carols in the Bible app. Luann and I are doing a couple of Facebook devotionals each week to go along with that. You can join us for that. Call somebody, encourage them, lift them up, pray with one another. Do the things that make us the church. A building doesn't make us a church. A meeting on Sunday morning doesn't make us a church. What makes us a church, what makes us a family, is the Spirit of Christ that lives in us. It's sharing that Spirit with others. It's going out into our dark world and being a light. Probably more than ever, our mission statement is so true. We need to be out in our world, uncovering, revealing, sharing what God is doing in our world right now. Hey, listen, have a great week. I love you. If you need anything, please call us at the office and let us know. God bless you and keep you this week.